Very simply, what I'm going to share is how do we obey our parents when it's really hard? Okay? Very apt message for all of you. Yeah, of course. Now, the question I always get from Christian youths or young adults is, how do I obey my parents when they are not even spiritual? That's for believing parents. Or, how to obey them when they're not even setting a good example for me? So some young people that I've always heard, what they say is, all I got from my parents are naggings, discouragements, and over the years, I've even seen their hypocrisy clearly. They're different at church and outside, whichever it is, okay? So, yeah. And what adds to the frustration is, nowhere in the Bible has given us any rights and legitimacy to disobey our parents, right? Unless it's in regards to faith issue. Say my parents don't allow me to go to church, or they persecute me for my faith. Now, that it probably is the only time I could disobey them or respectfully disobey. Other than that, nowhere is it mentioned in the Bible that we could disobey our parents, you know. So, parents, I'm sure you have experience, they nag at us for bad grades and then rub us up the wrong way. Some say, you know, I don't get understanding from my parents when I'm tired, you know, when I'm exhausted, when I'm feeling lousy, they just rub it in, you know. So, I think it's our experience that parents, you know, when they're frustrated, you know, they release their frustration on us. And it's a very common thing. And some parents, they have very unrealistic expectations on us to a point that when I was young, sometimes I thought, you know, are they doing it for me or for themselves? Does it ring the bell? Now, the thing is, for most young people, be it their spirituality, somehow they will go through a period of difficult relationship with their parents. It's either we all go head on with our parents, head on conflicts, or we just adapt to them, just taking all their irritation reluctantly. Most of the time it's like that. Now, but it's also a very common phenomenon that when we outgrow our youthfulness, that is when we are in our 20s or 30s, or when we got married or had children, you realize your relationship with your parents will get better. Okay, my wife can testify to that. We can ask my wife, we can ask Sumo. She can tell you that she had a very difficult relationship with her mom during her adolescence year, to the point that during that, every time the mom came back from work, you know, she will get up from the sofa and go straight to the room before mom opened the door. Why? She said she nags at everything. She picks on every tribal matters, you know, why didn't you greet me, you know, why are you still watching the TV, you know, why didn't you wash the dishes, every trivialities, she'll harp on it and all. And she's also filled with this sense of unfairness that the father always favored the son, which they have only one brother, and over the four daughters and all. So this is the reality of my wife, you know. But all I can see now, especially what my wife is doing now, all I can see is she's showering all the care and concern for her parents right now. She's like growing up with three children and always calling them, listening to their woes, and bringing them for tours, fetching them to the hospital, see the doctor, and doing all those things now, you know. And if you see the relationship my wife enjoyed with her parents, you wouldn't even think that, you know, they had such a strained relationship in the past. So many people will say we will outgrow this kind of strained relationships with our parents, and which is mostly true. If it's not now, maybe 10 years or 20 years later. Alright? But is it a comfort to hear that? I think no, right? Because I think it's not a comfort for a young person who is having problem with the parents, having a strained relationship with the parent now. Because right now, if you cannot get out of this, all you do is you suffer their irritation and their weaknesses. and all. And especially when you cannot have much appreciation over your parents, who is a guardian over you, I mean, it's very hard to reconcile in your conscience. Don't you realize that? And now, think about it, okay? I want you to think about it. You are in your 20s now, okay? 19, 20, okay? Think about it. Would God just succumb us to something torturous and just wait for us to outgrow it? Think about it. Wouldn't there be a message for us right now, even when we're having a strained relationship with our parents? Isn't there God's ordained blessings within? You see, sometimes we empathize with our feelings so much that we didn't think of what good can it be? What good can it come out from that kind of relationship with my parents? Now, just to point to you, now, you look at David in the Bible. Look at him. He was literally forgotten by his father. Remember that? When Samuel the prophet came to anoint Jesse's sons, and the father literally forgot about this son who is tending the flock. And I could see he was so much neglected by the father, and the father just put him in the wilderness, look up the sheeps and all, you know, without really think about his danger, you know. If it's me now, I would say, oh no, so dangerous in wilderness, there are lions and bears and beasts over there, how would I put him there? But you could see, you know, David, in pure obedience to his father, he did what his father told him. And in taking care of the sheep, somehow it has equipped him with the skills which we didn't expect that would help him beat the giant Goliath. Am I right to say that? So in pure obedience to the father, God has prepared a blessing for him, a hidden blessing. Now, if you look at another person, Joseph, now, I presume you all know their story, right? Right? David, Joseph, right? If you look at Joseph, who had a father of four wives and 10 brothers who hated him so much, and Joseph has went through so much hurts and injustice done to him by his brothers, but because he honors his father, therefore, he was kind to his brothers, even when they have done him harm. So you could see that how the Lord blessed Joseph so much. Now, a lot of people, when you ask them, why do you think Joseph was so blessed? Now, they will presume that most probably, you know, they come up with the conclusion that Joseph was God-fearing, Joseph was God-revering. I mean, yes, no doubt about it. But listen carefully, if you read the story of Joseph, you will read very little about his specific communion with God. Unlike David. Now, you can read David from the Psalm. He has such a deep communion, you know, with the Lord, you know, always writing poems and about how he walked with the Lord and trust himself to the Lord. And all. You see a lot of that, you know. And you can see a young man like Daniel. Now, Daniel, you can see a lot of the way he trusted the Lord. And even, you know, when the enemies tried to harm him, how he trusted the Lord. And he received dreams and visions from the Lord. A lot has been said about his walk with God. But for Joseph, somehow you see very little records of his relationship as if in communion with God, other than Genesis 39 verse 2, remember the verse, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. That's all. That's about all, you know. And so, Joseph's God-revering, God-fearing attributes were mostly shown through the way he honors his father, he seeks his fathers for blessing, and he's kind to his brothers, and he cares for his father's household. You see, it's shown through that. It's shown through that. Now, you have to know. So you could see how Joseph showed his filial piety, how Joseph showed his God-revering attributes through his filial piety to his father, and also believing the covenant God has made with his father Jacob. That's why at the end of Joseph's story in Genesis, you will see he gives specific instruction that do not leave my bones right here in Egypt. Make sure you carry it up to the land of Canaan, because that is the covenant that God has made with my father Jacob. You saw that? So, you get what I'm trying to say, you know, I'm making you understand. When you read the Bible, of course, there's always one main message about we being revering to God and honor God. But when a person honor God, then you have to ask, how is it shown? Okay, the Bible can write about David, how he walked with the Lord, how he communicated with God in such a way that he's so close to God. But the Bible can also relate through stories like Joseph, who, because of his faith in God, how he honors his father and he cares for the household of his father. Despite the father practiced polygamy at four wives and caused so much pain and trouble to the family. You get what I mean? Now, just a few days ago, I was having meal with my parents and I brought my children along. You know, one of the things that make me really heartened is when I see my children got along very well, their grandparents. So they talk and listen to each other. And then I saw my parents were really happy when talking to my children. And when I look at my parents and I see so how much they have aged. And then as I talk to them, I realize that I have grown up, you know, so much. And they have grown old. You see, all these years, I've pastored the church. I have a wide array of experiences. I've grown so much spiritually. But as I talked to them, I could still see so much of my parents in me. I don't know whether you could see that in yourself. So, for instance, my mom is a very meticulous person. She worries a lot. And I think I'm wired towards that also. No, I'm a very detailed person, thinks a lot, you know, and all. And then my dad is a very pushy person. He pushes people to do things, and then she likes to force me to do things when I'm young, you know. Did I force you? Now, you know, just a few days ago, my daughter came back and said, "No, Dad, you know, these friends of mine, you know, this friend, she came to our church before, and our camp, our youth camp, and she talked to you." And my daughter said, two of my friends say, actually, you are quite pushy. I said, well, is that so? They commented and say, no. I said, oh, they say I'm pushy. Now, how about you? How about you think of me? Do you think your dad is pushy? She said, yeah, a bit. Then I asked, so do you like me being pushy? At times only. Okay, at times only. So I began to confirm with her, you know, how is it I'm pushy and all. And then we came to the conclusion that, now think about it. If that is not so pushy, how I get things done, you know. Say, for instance, in my position as a pastor, now I have to take lead. Sometimes make sure people does things. But pushy is a bad word, but sometimes you have to be spiritually pushy. Now, so I told my daughter, I'll give you one example. Now, I know you hate running. You know, she's a netball player. But one of the things that she really hates about netball is she has to run. And during, you know, physical training, you know, and she has to run like 6 or 10 rounds around the school. That's why she shunned training, because of the running. So because of that, I made her run. Push her to run. And I ran with her. So every Monday, I'll bring her for a run, you know, for her to overcome that hurdle in her. So eventually, after doing that for like 3 months and all, because after I know that, I do that, you know, for 3 months consistent. And now, she overcome a hurdle for running. And then she began to feel, yeah, I think you're pushing me to run helps, you know, in a way. And when I ran with her, you know, I remember those times when I was young, my father forced me to run. So I somehow overcome the lethargic tendency to run because of my father's pushiness. And now I'm doing it to my daughter. But of course, I have to be spirit-filled. But somehow, when I do it, she will feel it. You know, the pushiness that I have to push her to do certain things that she doesn't like. You know what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is, you will realize that there are things that you don't like about your parents. And you say, I've grown up, I'm not going to do that to my children, you know. Somehow you will do it, okay. You will see traits of them in you, you know, okay. But how can you make sense out of this? Okay, how can you make sense? How do you appreciate this? Okay. So bottom line is, you must see the love of God in giving you such parents, whether you like it or not now. Right? I'm going to show you from the Bible. Okay. Now, can we turn to Genesis chapter 48? Genesis chapter 48:8. Now, you can see the account of Joseph and going to the father, Jacob. This is the part where Joseph had brought the whole family to Egypt. Chapter 48:8. And now, Jacob is old, and then Joseph brought his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob to receive blessings from their grandfather. And verse 8, when Israel, meaning Jacob, okay, he's been renamed Israel. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, who are his grandchildren, he asked, who are these? They are the sons God has given me here, Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, bring them to me so that I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So imagine, you know, when your father is so old and frail, you know, but you still believe that God will bless you and your children through him. Now, that's the belief of Joseph. That's why he's bringing the children to the grandfather. And then, so Joseph brought the sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And look at how he honored his father. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel, with Jacob, reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head. Though he was the younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. So there is a deliberateness. He knows which one is the younger, which one the older. Usually, the blessing will go to the older one first, right? But somehow, Jacob felt otherwise. And what happened is, verse 17, when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand and moved it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, but he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he. This is a prophecy. And his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce a blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then God said to Joseph, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. Now, and indeed, Ephraim later on became a much stronger tribe than Manasseh, if you know the history of Israel, right? Now, I'm going to give you simply three principles. for you to remember, so that you know how to pray about your relationship with your parents. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do and all, you know. We all know what to do in our conscience. But I think it's good to be reminded through the truth principle and understand the reason behind about a relationship with our parents. Now, you understand, number one, first, if you had a strained relationship with your parents, or not so ideal, I would say, okay, not so ideal relationship, now, you must know what happened now is a reflection of both your parents and your self-centeredness. Realize your self-centeredness. Now, why do I say that? Now, you remember what I said just now? The fact that your relationship with your parents will get better when you grow older actually showed something. Have you ever wondered why most people, like for my wife, had a really strained relationship with parents since when she was young, you know, when she was a teenager, but why it gotten to be so good and so pleasant now? Why? Well, you could say probably because the parents gotten old, they are less intense. Okay, that's one thing. Or they're not living together, so they don't rub each other's shoulders. Or because, you know, my wife got a family now, so she began to see things from a different point of view. She could understand the parents' concern and their naggings because she's doing that to the children also now, right? No, you can say that. You can say all that. But the thing is, whatever it is, it merely shows our self-centeredness that caused a lack of perspective. Now, self-centeredness will always blind us to what is objective. We will always see things from my point of view, my feelings, my emotions, my benefits. That's self-centeredness, you know? And it could happen between our relationship with our parents. You know what I mean? So, because of that, we cannot be perceptive about our parents' point of view. You see, if you could see beyond that, you are a godly and mature young man and woman. Or even if you could not see beyond that, because you can't feel so now, but at least appreciate that. Appreciate that the constraint that your parents is giving to you now, or the naggings, or the things, unpleasant things that they say, serves as a protection for all of you. If you could see that, you will be a notch higher than your peers. Because as I mean, you're not no longer a teenager, I call you young adults, whichever, you know. The common traits with young people is they cannot see beyond the blind spots or what they feel or what they see as it is now. Now, this is the problems with young people. That's why you see what's happening in Hong Kong now. You see the young people, the 12-year-old, the 15-year-old, the 18-year-old, what are they doing, you know? You know, smashing things, you know, hitting the policeman, you know, taking the law into their own hands. No, these are young minds being played on by the higher echelon of the society. You know, they cannot differentiate. They see things at face value. You see, that's the thing. That's why they are being used in a way, I felt. So, but if you could see things perceptively, objectively, then we are a notch above the ordinary peers. Okay, now ordinary youths or young adults. Okay, that's number one. Okay, so you have to realize your self-centeredness. Okay, because whichever it is, after 5 years, 10 years, 11, 15 years, or 20 years, you're going to be in good terms with your parents. Okay, very good terms. What I mean is much better than now, definitely. Okay, it happens to my wife, happens to me, if it happened to you. Okay, and number two, okay, now if you can confirm deep into your lives, you will realize that there will always be some blessings that your parents could pass down to you. That's why Joseph is going to Jacob. Despite Jacob probably lived a very lousy life all his life, he has gotten real mess with the four wives and all the children who are disobedient, you know, not a good father. In a way, His life is full of pain and trials, you know, and grief. It's all that, but Joseph still go to the father. Now, so, why? Because he believed. As the promise of God, there will be some blessings given to him by his father. So instead, people, instead of lamenting or being selective, now I always hear young people say, okay, I prefer my father. Okay, so I thank God I got my father's genes. Okay, I didn't get my mother's genes or whichever. You know, you hear these people, they are very selective. Or no, at least I got my mother's good personality, and I didn't get my father's temperament. You know what I mean? No, don't be selective in that sense. You have to see the love of God in whatever traits that your parents has passed down to you. Whatever traits. You have to see beyond the differences. Of course, other than the original sins that you have inherited from your parents, which come along with it a lot of unpleasant attributes and temperaments, characteristics. Now, you have to also see that with every kind of characteristics or personalities that you inherit, if it is worked through the blood of Jesus, it will be a great blessing. The love and the plan of God in those attributes and characteristics that you have inherited will help you fulfill the plan of God in your lives. Yes, you could disagree with your parents in certain things. You could voice out like what Joseph said. Oh, father, no, that's the youngest. No, this is the older. Oh, whichever. But let me tell you something. You can never supersede your parents if they feel strongly about something. Rather, you must see it as the hidden blessings of God apart from your feelings. You understand that? Say, for instance, if your parents force you to study, you must take it as that's the will of God for you to study. That's accepting it as the love of God. If your parents is being a hypocrite and you saw through it, you must understand that they are helpless also. You see, it's not easy handling your own family and outsiders. Sometimes your parents have to portray a front to outsiders. It's not easy. There are shades of gray that we young people don't usually could accept. Don't you realize? No, we couldn't accept like shades of gray. Say, for instance, now, you see, look at your parents. They are always filled with emotional baggage. Don't you realize? For us, we are straightforward. We grow up in this westernized influence called individualism. No, we couldn't care less. You know, I just be myself. Why must my parents be hypocrites? And all? And now, let me tell you, there was once I heard from an Indian preacher, an Indian pastor. He said something very true. He said, now he was an Indian pastor, but he went and lived in America. He said, in America, you will see a CEO, a very well-earned, very rich CEO, who could have a brother who is a homeless. And he felt he don't own the brother a thing. The brother can sleep on the streets, his conscience is clear. Because to him, is this brother is good for nothing, he doesn't work hard, he don't deserve anything. You know what I mean? But he's a CEO, living luxuriously, living in big houses, drive big cars, he has no problem, you know? But I say, this can happen in the States, in America, but not in Oriental country like India or China, you know what I mean? If you are rich, you must know you cannot allow your family members to be poor. You as a Chinese, as an Oriental tribe, will always have to carry the baggage of your family members. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, that's the way we are different in a way. Then you and your parents, you and their generation, okay? So, if you could see beyond that and understand that you are a notch above your peers, and then ask for their blessings. If you are joy to your parents, as how Joseph was a great joy and comfort to Jacob, no, you will be lifted up by God. Okay, that's the truth principle. Okay, and number three, I don't care. Okay, honoring your parents, okay, carries a promise, a great promise. Where do you get it? You get it in the fifth commandment, which the Lord has given. The fifth command, honor your parents, and what happened? It will go well with you, and then you will live long on this world, in this world. Go well with you and live long. Now, what is this? Live long, this is quantity of life, okay? Quantity of life. And it will go well with you. This is quality of life. You saw that? No use you live long, but live a poor life. You know what I mean? So, God is very holistic in His blessing. Give you the promise of living long, plus you'll be prosperous and successful. You will reap a benefit that no one else does. And in the end, when people look at your life, they just don't know why you are just so blessed. Things just go well with you. People just favor you. Or even if you don't have very good grades, somehow you meet good bosses. You got good jobs and all. And people don't know why. Because you adhere to the holy principle of God. That is, you revere God, and as a result of that, you honor your parents, the one who gave you life. You honor that guardian who is tasked by God to watch over you in this life on earth. And that's why God is faithful to His promise. You got the idea? All right, come, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this short time of sharing about honoring our parents and understanding the principle and the reason behind. Well, Father, you know, Lord, this is a very apt message for all of us young people, especially when we always face the problem of generation gap for our parents, their misunderstanding, their weaknesses on both sides, irritations and frustrations both sides has to handle. But I pray for this group of young people that you work in their hearts, give them the truth of God so that they can confirm it and be perceptive about it. And in terms of their relationships with their parents, they will be a notch above their peers, above the ordinary young people. So I pray that they can be like a David, a Joseph, who knows how to honor their parents and obey them and reap the blessings that you have promised them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.